Okay. We're holding in Pashvaychi in Abarbanel about the Shnei Banecha and Olonu Chabaretzen Tzayim. Breishas Memches Hei. V'omnam, he says, Ma matana shenos ni'akav li'yosef aseisus banach shvatim v'chulu. What exactly does it mean, he said, your two children come to shvatim? The Yerusha was Yerusha, and everybody got in Eretz Yisrael as they needed, as the size of families. So what exactly did he gain by being two shvatim? Ki. Lefisha Yisrael bonu al shem os hamudim, erkam b'mitzias ke'erach ha-shem os ha-mazol z'shmai mimau. So this is a point that Mabarmel says in other places, that the idea of 12 shvatim is not the pshat he happened to have 12 children. All 12 are really big tzaddikim, and that's why they're all 12 shvatim. The structure of Klal Yisrael requires 12 different facets. The 12 is in the Maral many times when he speaks about the number, significant number 12. Number 12 is the number of lines that determine the shape of a solid cube, a rectangle. You have, I mean, it's quite simple, four on top, four on the sides, and four on the bottom. So that means the different lines that together determine a solid are 12. And therefore, Klal Yisrael needed to have 12 shvatim. It's as if the entirety of Klal Yisrael can only be shaped when you have 12 different lines. And Yaakov Yino realized that Levi would not be one of the 12, he would be a part. You needed another one to fill in that place, to be matched in the number of 12. So he said the only way that could happen is if one Shevet assumes two positions, which is a certain privilege and attribute of the oldest. So it's a tremendous kavod and teferis, and kedusha it says for Yosef, to have it that way. I want to add one more nekuda here, using the Maral. When the Maral speaks about 12 lines determine a cube, 6 facets determine a cube, like the 6 sides of a cube and so on, the Maral adds the 13th of the 12, or the 13, the significance of 13 is the gematria of Echad, and 7 to 6. There's another point, he calls it the midpoint. The midpoint is really much more conceptual than just the midpoint. The midpoint means the point about which all the other lines or facets revolve around, and that gives them meaning. I have 6 boards of wood in my house. They do not determine a cube. It is when all the boards' midpoint is equidistant from some point that all 6 boards together form a cube. Same thing with the 12 lines. The so-called midpoint means it's the point which defines all the other ones as being part of one entity. So that Shevet Levi became that, and that's the 13, that's Echad. In 6 sides, you have the 7th side, the Shabbos, that becomes that point around which everything else forms Hayom Yom, Rishon B'Shabbos, Sheni B'Shabbos, and so on. Okay, the next piece is a small Sfarno. This is a it's a klal in many things. It says that Yaakov could no longer see, that he was too old to see, so he asked them to bring over the children, and he kissed them and hugged them. What was the point of that? So the Sfarno says, "Kidei shetidbak nafshu v'metachlem berchaso," which is the point that Ran also makes. When you give a bracha to somebody, the bracha the mevarich is kind of a pipeline for brachas min hashamayim onto this person. He's serving as a conduit, and that's why you put your hands on the one who's being nisbarech, as if you're sort of completing the flow towards that child or whatever it is, towards whoever it is you give me a bracha to. So the flow of it requires a that you're a big enough tzaddik that you have a supply of brachas from Shemayim. That's one half of it. The other half of it is you feel good enough about the person who is going to who is getting the bracha that you want to bestow it on him. In other words, you need to have, for a pipe to be effective, it needs to be open on both sides. So the opening to Shemayim, and we'll see in a second, is going to be the tzidkis, and the opening to the person is going to be that sense of kesher. Yes.
So, Rabbi, how does this work with the idea of bringing people's names to tzaddikim to daven for them?
It's not a bracha, but it's a spalal b'adam. It's a deal of chacham is spalal b'adam. Tefillah is to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Brachas are much more. It's a way of bringing some down. We'll see in a second. Ben of the chayim. A bracha is kind of a stronger pull in some ways. Tefillah always works, but a bracha is sort of completing the bracha. A Kaddish Baruch Hu wants tzaddikim to have certain power. The power that they have is not theirs, but they form a bridge between a Kaddish Baruch Hu's shefa to the person. Take a look at next piece of Rebbe Chaya, who talks about this in your bracha from the other angle. The Hoysa bracha chalal b'smichazu says that Yisrael put his hands on Ephraim's head. So he explains this provided a way for the bracha to come there. Kashakosu b'Yeshua b'yismach es yadav olav kedei sheyeh atzel ruach hakodesh al nismach. This sort of bestows ruach hakodesh on the one who's getting it. Umizeh inyanoi says smicha b'zman chachamim. This was the idea of smicha for for making somebody into a dayan, into a rav. Gam bechas kohenim says kapayim. Ki lo yitochen lekohen anoi says kapov shismach as yodav akach tov miyisrael. I mean, the kohen can't possibly, in a certain sense, bechas kohenim is the kohen putting his hands on very high soul. Since you can't do that, you sort of do it in a general sense on the public. Valzeo peres kapov lemalek lehatzel kach abrocha lematev kach abrocha al yoyna. So what you're doing is you're trying to connect the Aliyonim Tachtonim. Vehu sikel as yadav. The word sikel comes from Lashon Seichel v'chachma. So the Pashup Shad is, he thoughtfully switched his hands. The way Rabbi Chaya is learning it is that his hands became attached to Seichel. In other words, in the picture of the world, that which is above the world is kind of like the seichel in a person, and as a person brings it down to this world, the person is a conduit to bring it down. So brachas, and in a certain sense, it gives a very clear understanding of the purpose of bracha and tzaddikim, malachim even, and so on, because the source for everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why we can't pray to a malach or to a tzaddik or to anyone. That's kfir, it's against one of the Ikra Das. But the role of a tzaddik or of a malach is there has to be some sort of flow milamala mata. I want to add something which is by chassidim especially, there are many schools, like the Rebbe will give a coin which is supposed to bring great luck and great bracha, the Rebbe will give this, will give that, the other thing, all sorts of objects and things. There's a story, part of Hasidic lore, kind of, that somebody that didn't have money and he was very poor, and he went to Rav Meir Primishlan, Rav Meir Primishlan was Rebbeim, and he said they should change the shutters in the house. Okay, so they asked him, so change the shutters, and the person's fortune is changing, did well. And someone asked him, why do you suggest changing the shutters? And he said, it's a pasuk. The word Laden in Yiddish means shutters. So he said, Ein kesel laden zeh, yesh kesel laden acher. A play on the words. Now, I don't know if this particular story is true, but the genre of stories is something that's not uncommon. And it has some meaning. In other words, no, shutters do not have any cause. The Rebbe wanted to give a bracha. He needed some sort of physical means. Like, what changed? It changed because you changed the shutters. It changed because you have the Rebbe's coin, you have Rebbe's this, that, the other thing. This acts sort of as that conduit. It obviously does create sometimes problems if you become fixated on the coin, on the this, on the that, but at least just understand where that's coming from. For us, for most of us, this is kind of a very strange type of behavior, but it's coming to fulfill that piece. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs some sort of bridge. That doesn't come down from heaven. It forms a cloud and it condenses and so on. Okay. Then you have the next one, the Sfarno, which in a certain sense continues it. I'm not quite sure if this is what he means, but he's bothered by the problem of Hamala HaGolosi. We call Roya Barachas and Arim. The question is, can you, or are you allowed to use a malach to bench the kids? So he says, Siva Shamalach HaGolosi Yivarachas Arim Einam Ruim LeBirchas Chavdolti Emtsai. In other words, if Kalisol can't have the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkocha straight, like Moshe Rabbeinu said, Im Ein Panecha Holchei Sitona, if you're not going to sleep, then at least give it through a malach. Not chas v'sholom that you're asking the malach, but rather you're asking that a Kadosh Baruch Hu give it through a malach if they can't get it straight. The Rebbe Bechaya says, V'acha kechosam dvara b'achrona shekar malach ha-goel v'omu b'ker v'aretz k'loshen kishmi b'ker bo. So the malach is called the malach ha-goel, and he says b'ker v'aretz, meaning that this is the place where I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, manifest myself. Hamalach goes to you, and the Beker V'aretz means that it is the Malach from within which the Bracha comes. It's similar to the Pasuk says, Kishmi Bekirbo. Later on Mishpatim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe that the Malach will go with you and my name is within him. In other words, I'm the force, I'm the operative force. The Malach is just kind of the means for it to happen. Now, the Rebbe Nechaya points out the problem that we're speaking about. V'tzorech ha-toladas, ki lehischol Yaakov tfilosim in ha-Malach, however the kitzas netiyas. If he would have started by saying, Malach, 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 will you come and bench us? That would have been kfira. The word kitzutz netios is an expression used, Kabbalah Sfarim, Rabban use it, Rebbe Chai use it. It means as follows. When a person sees a growing tree and he sees it's full of fruit and it's alive, he cuts it to take it someplace else. He doesn't realize that in the act of cutting it, he's just killed it, because the life force was not innate to the tree that we saw on the ground. It was in the ground and flowing up through the tree. So the same thing is true about HaKadosh Baruch Hu when acting through Malachim and so on. The Malach is the one that actually executes whatever needs to be executed, but he's not the source, he's not the origin of that power. So it's just like a court bailiff acting on behalf of the court. The bailiff is the one who performs the tasks, but he's simply a messenger. and you can't petition the bailiff to do X, Y, or Z. You can petition the court, not the bailiff, and if you do, that's seditious. In other words, you're trying to turn someone who's following orders against the one who's giving orders. So therefore, you needed to have a very clear sense that the tefillah is not to the malach. Aval, hischil b'milas alokim shevamidas amakabas min ha'alyon. He starts with vayivarech, it says vayom ha'alokim hazavaz al-fanav. That's a Kodesh Baruch Hu, or a certain aspect of Kodesh Baruch Hu, because Elokim is something that's Meshutif to Malachim. V'siyim b'malach ha'goyel lachnif losibaz, v'odiyas ha'kol yichud sholim. In other words, just like when we say tzavei malachecha ha'kdoishim, to do this and this and this, you don't know that all the malachs that come out shayfa should be good and so on. What we're saying is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world in a certain structure, and that he wants that structure. But we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the inner dynamic force, and everything else is just there because he wishes it to be there. So we don't want to, Lamashal, when a person wants to spell for Parnassa, so one person who's not Toteach Hashem will be mispalt to his boss or to the Malach HaMemunah and Parnasa. That's bad. On the other hand, to be mispalt to Kadosh Baruch Hu to send down Mon is wrong also. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't wish to send Mon there at this stage in the world. The tefillah is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should be Mevarech my Maisi Yadayim. I have a store, I'm selling shoes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send bracha ma'asei yadayim and should do well. So the shleimus of tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he be mashpia through those tzinoros that he chooses to be mashpia. And this is the fullness of tefillah. That's why by Mekubalim you have and need to be mechav in each and every bracha, different shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, different this sphere, different this and that. All of those energy, very careful. It's what we're asking for, not to whom we're asking. Lamashal, let's say I were to ask, if I were to ask the head of a very large corporation, I need some help, can you come down and help me? That's a chutzpah. But can you just mention to somebody that they send somebody down to help me is a good bakasha. I can't walk over to a guy working in the corporation and say, listen, so many people are working here, I need you for a few minutes, come down and work with me. That's wrong. But I don't want to ask, it's wrong to ask the head of the corporation to do it personally for me because it's enofichvoro, it's not the way he wants it done. So the right way is to ask him to tell the appropriate one, to give me the help that I need. So that's when a person is mispalo, like over here, Hamalach HaKodesi Yivarech Son Ha'arim is a follow-through of Elokim HaShalcha Lefanai. That's how he's learning Pshat in the Pasuk over here. It's a little bit awkward in the Pasuk, but that's he also points out over at Ravina B'chaya that the word Elokim over here is talking about the Chelik of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol. That's Mesiyachas to Malachim. In other words, in the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, we have two different names. We have Yudkei Vavkei, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his most enveloping sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in its entirety, and the most removed from our world. That is it's the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that sort of is as close as we can get to defining HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then Elokim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu as he acts within the world. So the point of connection to a Malach is through Elokim, and that's why Malachim are called B'nei Elohim also, or Elohim they're called, because these are sort of, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu in interaction. That's a very specific mode of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and at that level, it overlaps with, you know, with giving and so on.
Rebbe?
Yeah.
How does this fit with davening, davening to tzaddikim, like any time, like by Kalev, that when he went to Hebron and said that he davened to the Avos that they should beseech on his behalf? Is
so
that?
So, the Mishnah Berurah says, it says in two places that it's a minhag to go and be mespalel on Kvaris in certain days. It says it on, it says it about Erev, like Rosh Hashanah and on Tisha B'Av. Ashpur writes, one needs to be very, very careful not to daven to the Mason, brings it down. The person should be davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that in the schus of the tzaddikim that are buried here, we should get a Yeshua, whatever it is. And some other Rishonim say that in the place where tzaddikim are buried, there's Ashuras HaShchina, and that's why we go there. But obviously the sense is always to daven. We do have an expression that this person should be Melech Yosher, so that also implies not that he's the one who's actually empowered to do it, but he should be our shliach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the sense of it. It's always a they act as shluchim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Same thing by Machnisei Rachamim.
Machnisei Rachamim, this has been an old vikuach in different piyutim where Midas Rachamim is Galgal Aleinu Machnisei Rachamim, and some have interpreted it in the following way, some have changed it, and so on. That's, you know, it's been a long time polemic. Okay, the next one is an Akeda, quite a long one, and deals with a whole bunch of topics. So, let's go. It's going on the pasuk. He also vagid lechem esashikas and vachas hayomim. I am going to tell you what's going to happen to you at the end of days. In other words, there is a Mashiach, there is a geula, and so on. So the first point Akeda says, l'masharoa sachach maloikis dekvas chartov chedav avaris and sasera. Being that Kadosh Baruch Hu has decided that it is appropriate to give schar avoda, there has to be, the schar has to fit all of the people, that all the participants, meaning that there is the part of mitzvahs deal with the seichel, with the das of a person, and part of it deals with the meisim, the things that are in a person, you know, meisim mitzvahs that a person does. Also, now the Akeda throws in over here a piece that Torah is needed for Seichel because not everything is understood by a person, and things that the person doesn't can't know for himself, that's where we need Torah. Secondly, he says, that's the next paragraph, and I'm sort of skimming because it is quite large, the person's the person's maisim will be seen as emanating from his seichel. In other words, the Torah, when they gave us a part of the Torah to deal with our minds and hearts, there are two purposes. One is the mind and heart in itself is important, and secondly, it's important that mitzvahs be the product of understanding. So he says, he brings a pasuk, sofdova hakol nishma, that everything that a person hears and understands, when he hears it and understands it, we have es halokim yirei, that the person is yirelikim, ves mitzvos of shmar. Now he said, the answers, v'amak kizek la'adam. Why is that kizek la'adam? You know, it's as if the pasuk is saying this point, this very point, that things are for the seichel and the seichel is mitzvahs, that is the person. But amar kizek alav le'in niflamite bezeh Kikvar choka al maise odom mechalk vosav kaderach hashachul kama haristo. Shlomo HaMelech has looked into things the way and understood the way Aristotle divided it between activities and bechira. So he says, a person needs to find what are those activities that we can call good that are specifically associated with a human being. In other words, what are the type of things that we would say this is the good. So he says, at shebir ki kol eila pulos atoris, ashi motzba mitzare chelik asichla miyushim tzatelikis zekolodom. The activities that a person does as a result of his moral Torah understanding, that's unique to man. In other words, animals have different behaviors that could be altruistic. You have animals, working for other animals. Bees, all the bees work for the queen bee, and different animals have built-in behaviors and so on. But their good behavior be a result of cognizance. The Moshe Gemara says we could have learned different midas from animals, tznius from a cat, and so on, gezel from an ant. But it's no way implies that we should call these animals tzaddikim, because their activities are not activities that come from seichel. He says the problem with Aristotle's approach is that they did not understand that the actions can be the result of a person's understanding of emes, but rather the activities are innate to the person in his nature, the way it would be for an animal. It says next paragraph that the Rambam follows along in some ways that that man's purpose is a deep understanding, and he says, we'll quote maybe just a line or two that he brings here. Akvatamani me Rambam zal. I don't like. I am bothered by the Rambam who follows Aristotle, in which I've seen in the following phrase. It says Shleimus Arshe Maschel Befall. So Elohim Shel Sech Befall. Man's ultimate crowning achievement is a real and deep understanding, to know everything that there is to know. Because once he dies, there are no actions. So the only thing that can stay with a person is the emes of knowledge and so on. Next paragraph, he argues with the Rambam, and he says, "Vani Omer." He obviously needed to come up with a solution, because he understood that there are mitzvahs and averis in the realm of deus and amunis. But he says, he argues and he says, the real action of a person, the real realization of a person is the partnership between physical activities done and directed by the seichel. That's his first point. So first point is that the world of mitzvahs and the world of tov and the world of adam is a person whose maisim are dictated by his seichel and his das. Then he says, if that's true, he moves on to the second point, next paragraph. Hine kichein ha-seichel roshim hoi mashalas ha-das. It's the seichel that is first prompted by religious understanding. And then v'achav chelak ha-chomri. So that means that all mitzvahs involve both seichel and a body. And it is only right that a Kadosh Baruch Hu reward a person in kind. If for whatever reason Kadosh Baruch Hu has decided that the man is a guf and a neshama together, that act in consort, and that is what Adam is, So Schar needs also to be in the same way. So he says that the two Scharas that there are, the two Schar, are different. This is the next paragraph. Ha'omnam ki shneilun yanim asher kein nitnu letig moshech ha'ka adem hizbaya. The two inyanim which are given as a reward for a person, im yeshem shav bemes mitziusam, even though they're both equal in terms of their being schar, hine hu mevuah shemafechem binyanam. They're going to be extremely opposite in how they manifest themselves, because the good that comes to a person's neshama, we know when it happens, when you die, but we don't know what it is. We have no idea what a spiritual hana is. Next paragraph, and that's why the Torah doesn't speak much about it, because what are we going to say? We don't have really words that express it. The words are going to be very, very they're going to be extremely language and metaphors, and the Torah doesn't speak that way. So the Torah does not really elaborate about Gan Eden. He adds a point here. Va'ish asu Torah munas v'zacha deis obederach rav v'zal loy hoye b'tavoysav v'tshukaytsas manios im maskal mechiv asech mesinzer toiv hini be'emes yisrach v'ini me'atzmoy v'yir neflos d'chtiv ha'Torah l'kayim kol mashu b'lei v'yosh v'neman b'golos nivus b'kamadabim. So he says it as follows. The reason why we have a hard time grasping physical ruchnistik eschar is because we're very physical people. Taivas noshim is physical. Taivas achila is physical. Taivas shena is physical. So we live where things that are very tangible, palpable, physical are reality to us. And therefore, it's very hard for us to understand how a nice svara could compete with a bowl of chont. It's not. We don't have a sense of a ruchnistic of world of tov. For a person who is on a higher level in terms of his drawing back from physical pleasures, in terms of his appreciation for ruchnias, begins to see in Torah itself all of those illusions to good things. He begins to interpret more and in a more and more refined way, so that person can get a hint of what it's about. So the chachma that's meramis in Torah is that. So let's just keep following the thread of thought so that we don't lose it. A person does mitzvahs ultimately with both together. Schar is required to be both together. The in terms of schar and nefesh, the Torah made it very clear when it would be, but the Torah not made clear what it would be, because the Torah couldn't. Dik tzadikim could possibly do it. Then he says, he goes on, that it's not possible to have a shutfis of the body and the guf for the schar of the nefesh, because there's no way the body can enjoy other things, so that's not going to be a schar fit. Then he goes on and he says there are mitzvahs that are done as a group, they're done as a klal, and that's Kol Yisrael, and therefore the schar has to be the same way. Kol Yisrael as a society acts righteously in a certain way, and therefore all of the things that are promised to the klal, a strong nation, a good king, a Beis HaMikdash, all of those things are parallel to the klal level of it. The onus that we get by being a neb nation strewn about all the goyim, that's a result of our not doing the mitzvahs as a group. In other words, the Navi, when he comes along and he threatens us with gullus and all sorts of terrible things, he keeps saying the judges aren't judging people properly, the kings are misleading them, the prophets. In other words, that also goes parallel. Now, he says, the schar, the physical entities, the bodies and the klal who do mitzvahs, the schar for that is Yemotza Mashiach. So in Yemotza Mashiach he says, we know what it's about. We know it says in the psukim, we will have a king, we'll have a country, we'll be strong, we'll be at peace and so on, and we'll be prosperous, but we don't know when it's going to be. So this type of schar is going to actually is going to be the opposite in that sense. Now he says, we're a few paragraphs down, V'ulam siba se hester v'tamo, why indeed, we understood before, he explained why is it that the Torah tells us when the schar will be for a person's ruchnis take apart, but it doesn't tell us what it'll be. And he explained because that's not possible. But Mashiach, why doesn't it say when it'll be? So he explains because the reason is you need to be able to give people Bechira. Vehu, he says, there's no suffix that the length of the gullus and its difficulty is has been directed by Kadosh Baruch Hu as a way of being mechapa. Let's give an example. That's a simple mashal, kind of. Let's say you have a kid who did something bad, and you want to deprive him. You want to really, really bear down hard so that he regrets doing what he did. You tell him he's not going on the big, big trip that you've promised him, and so on and so forth. Now you know that what you really want is he should ask you twice, cry the third time, and then you'll say, okay, but this and this and this. But if you tell him that, then you've defeated the purpose of it. Then, you know, the wise guy kid is one says, yeah, what it takes is it takes going twice and begging, and then the third time if you cry a bit, it happens. That kid is kind of, it's defeated the purpose of it. So if I could have spoken to say, Rabbi Yisai, you know, you're going to suffer in Golos until this and this day and this year. So in a certain sense, you're defeating the whole purpose. Golos thus seems endless and needs to seem endless to us and bottomless and no end in sight, because that's the mohus of Golos. Sakharish Baruch could not reveal the time of Geula because that would defeat the purpose of Golos. Now he goes back and he says, this is what Yaakov wanted to reveal to Klal Yisrael. He wanted to reveal to Klal Yisrael what is it exactly that you have in Olam Haba, and when it is that Mashiach is going to come.
Really?
Yes.
How could it be that, I mean, what the Akedah is saying is that you can't reveal what will be in Olam Haba because there's no real way to be tofes it. What would Yaakov have done?
So let's see the line actually. Omnam ha'inya naf shaloike inya giluyov mashenaflik bu mosu baros etzim yedaka klau. K'mosh om ha'novi ha'godol ha'shech yisol mi'chomech ha'nosh ba'ashem v'avtuv ha'zanzu echa. In other words, we're still not going to be able to reveal what it is, but we're going to speak very strongly about it. We're going to say, you know, there's this great tov that you can't imagine what it is, and so on and so forth. He would just elaborate with superlatives without obviously being able to give out the essence. That's the way he explains it.
It kind of begs the question, what's wrong with doing that? I mean, why couldn't the Torah have done that? The Torah can say
The Torah is not so much a document, a bargaining document, as much as a description of emes. The Torah is, this is for this, this is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world, this way it should be. It's not the recordings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu bargaining with us. It's rather making statements. In other words, we're saying these are things that really, really are the inner metzias. If you do good, there's good, and if you do bad, there's bad. Okay, so basically those are the points of Akedah. We've done a bit of skimming. It's quite a long Akedah, but there are quite a lot of important points made over here. Some of them are extremely, extremely central points in different Rishonim. For instance, the point about the schar being to both the Guf and Hashem because they all participate in it. This is the argument used by the Ramchal against the Rambam. The Rambam says that Chiyas HaMeisim cannot be the end all of Schar because the Guf is not, you know, the Guf is not it. Whereas the Ramchal's counterpoint is, since the person is a consists of a Guf and a Nefesh, then it's going to have to be that's going to be the person, that's going to be the Schar. The Guf and the Nefesh together work to do something, so the Schar has to be there. So this big machlokas of whether or not Chiyas HaMeisim is the ultimate state of Tov or the Olam HaNeshamos really hinges around this point over here. It's a point that's been debated, and he uses the same approach as Ramchal uses, that if Avoda was given to the two together as a partnership, then the Schar is going to have to be a two together as a partner also. Okay.